Venerable brothers, Dhamma friends, so welcome all of you to English Dhamma discussion. Actually, this we typically conduct on Tuesdays, but with the absence of Bhante Dhammajiva, we are conducting on every Thursday at 7:30. And the order is like we are taking a particular sutta from Sanyutta Nikaya these days, and then I'll recite the Pali verses, and then Venerable Dhamma Alankara will read the Sinhala translation. Venerable Dhammosada will read the English translation, and then we'll go into a kind of a discussion. So today we have a particular sutta called Mahadhana Sutta. Mahadhana Sutta. And it starts like this. So while Buddha was at Savatthi, so it happens like this. There's a one deity approaching, and there's a Pali sentence verses stated here. Ekamantan tithako sa devata bhagavantan gathaya ajjabhasi mahadhana mahabhoga ratta vantopi kattiya anya manyabhi gijjhanti kamesu analankata tesu ussukka jatesu bhava sotanusarisu kedha tanhang pajahinsu ke lokasming anussukati. And then Buddha gives an answer. Hitva agarang pabbajita, hitva puttang pasumpiyang, hitva ragancha dosancha, avijjancha virajiya, kinasava arahanto, te lokasming anussukati. So I invite Venerable Dhammalankara to recite the Sinhala translation.
Avasarayi Swaminasa, Mahadhana Sutra, Savat Nura. එකත් පසක සිටි ඒ දෙවිතෙමේ භාග්‍යවතුන් වහන්සේට ගාථායෙන් කීය. මහද්ධන ඇති, මහත් භෝග ඇති, රටවල් ඇති, ශස්ත්‍රියයෝද කාමයන්හි සෑහීමට නොපෙනියා නොපැමිණියා වූ ඔවුනොවුන් සැපත පතත්. ඔවුන් කාමයන්හි උත්සාහවත් වූ කල්හි භවස්රෝතස අනුව යන කල්හි මේ ලෝකෙහි කවුරු තෘෂ්ණාව දුරු කළාහුද? ලෝකෙහි කවුරු කාමයන්හි උත්සාහ රහිත වූවාහුද? භගවත්තු, ගිහිගේ හැර ප්‍රිය වූ දරුවන්ද සිව්පාවුන්ද හැර පැවිදි වූ රාගයත් ද්වේෂයත් දුරුකොට අවිද්‍යාවත් නසා සිටි සීනාශ්‍රව වූ ඒ රහත් වූ ලෝකෙහි කාමයන් සෙවීමෙහි උත්සාහ රහිතයෝය.
Yeah, so Venerable Dhammosada will recite the English translation taken from Bhikkhu Bodhi.
Asai Swanse, the title of this sutta is Those of Great Wealth. And the Deva says, those of great wealth and property, even courtiers who rule the country, look at each other with greedy eyes, insatiable in sensual pleasures. Among these who have become so avid, flowing along in the stream of existence, who here have abandoned craving? Who in the world are no longer avid? And the Buddha responds, having left their home and gone forth, having left their dear sons and cattle, having left behind lust and hatred, having expunged ignorance, the arahants with taints destroyed are those in the world no longer avid.
So basically the kind of a question between the typical worldly life and then the relinquishment. Basically, so one deva has observed the typical behavior of the even the kings and the so-called the nobles. But he basically have understood, even though they have a lot of wealth, mahadhana and mahabhoga, they have a lot of, say on those days, the harvest. Ratta vantopi kattiya, and even the rulers of the countries, so they are the kattiyas, no? They are the kings. Anya manya bhi gijjanti, kamesu analankata. So they still want someone else's wealth. So even though they have many wealth, even though they are the kings, they want to acquire someone else's wealth, and again they want to win the other countries. Tesu sukka jatesu. So as a result of that, they are keep on attacking, keep on urging themselves, keep on organizing their armies to invade the other countries, to invade or acquire someone else's wealth. and bhava sotanu sarisu. So they are swept away by this the streams of the existence, continuously swept away. Ko idha tanhang pajahinsu ke lokasmin anusukati. So who is the one going to abandon this tanha, this craving? And ultimately they become anusuka, who has no urge, no urge to look after, look forward, or to acquire this someone else's wealth or even any kind of a sensual desire. So this is the kind of typical question that he is asking. Actually, I can remember that there is a beautiful comparison between the worldly type of achievement and the unworldly kind of achievement between the Buddha and another so-called a person who is with thousands of cattle. Can you remember that sutta? Remember that there was a flood going to come, and then Buddha approached there because the whole people will be swept away, and then this person is telling, okay, my cattle is really good and they are very safe, and my wife is also very good, she is very tame, and I'm quite happy, my children are also very good, they are also very tamed, and he's quite happy. And Buddha mentioned, I have nothing, I have completely homeless, I am happy. Can't remember the name of that sutta. Dhaniya Gopala Sutta, excellent. Dhaniya Gopala Sutta. So very interesting, such kind of discussions. So how Buddha and the Dhaniya Gopala. Dhaniya Gopala is a kind of an example for, on those days, the rich merchant or rich person who has thousands of cattle, and using that he is getting the milk and the other items. And then he become, in this agricultural society, the most rich person. And he's quite happy because he was able to put all his cattle to a safe place. Now the rain is going to rain. And his hut, whatever the house, is well stretched, and there is no any leaks, no water leaks. And he's quite safe, and the walls are fairly strong, and no winds can go through. And his wife also is a very good wife. Now she is with me and I have nothing to worry. And my children are also pretty good. And they are also with me, and they are also quite a good children. So I'm happy. So the rain, you just rain, I have nothing to worry. And then it's a kind of an explanation so he's making. And Buddha comes out of the sky and he simply says, I have no house. And no cattle, no wife, no children, nothing to worry. So if it is necessary, please rain the God. Just rain. I have nothing to worry. Very interesting how the kind of the discussion is going on. And ultimately this fellow is looking at who is challenging me. Because I am the most wealthiest person in this area. So I am quite happy and I have everything, nothing to worry. But this guy is talking completely opposite. Has nothing and he is asking, okay, just rain, I have nothing to worry. And then that's kind of a discussion. So it's always kind of a discussion, kind of opposite directions that we are going through. So many people are going after various sensual desires, various sensual pressures, what we typically call as the panchakama. As much as possible, they want to see beautiful sights, entertain the eyes. Similarly, as much as possible, they want to entertain the ear, by listening to music and various other, whatever the speeches, etc. So entertain the ears. Similarly, the sense, to entertain the nose, various odors. And as much as possible, to entertain the taste. So they have various delicacies. And they have children, they have wife and others, whatever, to entertain through the contact. So this is what we are continuously looking after. Continuously going through, continuously look forward. And that's what the governments are always trying to provide. As maybe as infrastructure, maybe as other, whatever the items, that's what they are going to promise, and that's what we are always voting them for. So much so, acquire all these sensual desires, so to fulfill all these sensual desires. Now the problem is there is no ending, isn't it? So even though these people acquire as much as possible, still there is no any end. So even the king has his many kingdoms and many queens and all his wealth, but still someone come and inform him, okay, there is another kingdom close by. Okay, it is governed by a kind of a poor king, maybe a weak king. He is being easy to invaded, so shall we go there? Why not? So we'll go there and acquire that kingdom as well. So there's a very beautiful same theme explained in the Rattapala Sutta. Rattapala Sutta also, there is one statement, Uno Loko Atitto Tanha Daso. That's another very beautiful statement. There are five such things that Rattapala. So there are five statements. Actually, it's a very, very beautiful sutta. Give me a second. There are a few statements that he particularly mentioned that I have seen and have understood these statements by the Buddha. And as a result of that, I have relinquished everything. I have given up everything. So actually, one king approached Venerable Rattapala. Rattapala is one of the son of the wealthiest merchant. And here. Upaniyati loko adhu. Upaniyati loko adhu. That is one reason why he basically relinquished the worldly life. Upaniyati loko adhuoti. So that is, you can't stop that, you being getting old. Ultimately, you die, you become sick, you can't stop it. That is one reason I went forth. Upaniyati loko adhu. And then, the other one is, so where is this? So like that, there are a few more things. Attano loko anabhisaro. So there is no escape, there is no any safe within this world. So you are always kind of vulnerable. And then the other thing, attano loko anabhisaro. So there is no any person who can control the thing. So others can anytime, or any situation can anytime make you quite difficult or almost like helpless. Attano loko anabhisaro. So there is no any kind of a control to your own possessions or your own whatever belongings and such kind of thing. Asako loko sabbam pahaya gamaniyam. And whatever you acquire, whatever you have, ultimately you have to relinquish, ultimately you have to abandon, either you like it or not. And then asako loko sabbam pahaya gamaniyam. And then, uno loko atitto tanha dasu. So even though you have many things, still you feel something is missing. Something is lacking. Not fulfilled, not feeling complete. Not feeling complete. So, probably, can you bring this Rattapala Sutta also? This is in Majjhima Nikaya. Uno loko atitto tanha dasu. So probably you can get some information from that. So this is Majjhima Nikaya Sutta number. This may be in this in the second book, Majjhima second. Same theme actually we are discussing. So why Rattapala basically went forth, because he's a rich person, actually a son of the rich person, and Rattapala means the governor of a particular area, we can say. And he has actually four wives, and he's quite happily married. But he one day went to listen to Buddha's teaching, and Buddha was talking these particular points, and he reflected that, and he understood, okay, yes, it is true. So why am I simply staying in this lay life? So he want to go forth. But his father, mother didn't want, and he ultimately go for a fasting. So either I die or you allow me to leave. And ultimately his friends say, okay, let him go. At least he will live. So later we'll try to get him back. And then he went forth and he became a monk and spent almost 12 years practicing. And he basically, before that, he wanted to see and come and see his parents, but Buddha didn't allow. Later, again, once he became an arahant, he again asked, okay, then Buddha say, okay, you can go. And now he is coming, approaching the same place, his house, old house. And his father asked him to go away because he didn't even recognize him. Father didn't recognize he as his son. And then on the way back, there is one servant want to throw away some stale food. And almost at that moment, Venerable Rattapala approached her and asked her, sister, if you are going to throw it away, just put it to my bowl. And she was a bit amazed and she is now putting it to his bowl. And he saw through her, he recognized, this is Rattapala, this is the son of this landlord. Then she was surprised and she is asking, why are you doing like this? Why don't you come inside? And then he said, my father chased me away. And then she again went and informed the father, and father came and asking, okay, why, what are you doing? Please come, please come. No, no, I already got my food. Now I am done. Maybe then please come tomorrow. Okay, I'll come. So then next day, he's going there. So all the food is arranged and everything very beautifully set. And before giving the food, so father is asking his beautiful wives to come forward with all the jewelry and all the beautiful attire and just come forward and try to impress Rattapala. So just impress him, because you know how whenever while you are with him, how you were able to impress him, which flowers or which garlands, which kind of jewelry you have to wear to impress him. You do the same thing now. You come and try to impress him. And they all come and try to do it and no. And he simply say, sisters, I don't want you, something like that. And they're being shocked because he's addressing them as sister. Previously, they are the wives, but now he is addressing them as sisters. So they also was really kind of shocked and informed the father. And Venerable Rattapala said, without torturing me, if you want to give me some food, please give it to me. And then he was being served and he ate and he left. And then he went to a particular, this king's kind of a yard kind of a thing. A park kind of a thing. And there the king approached him. King also know Venerable Rattapala, because he also know he's a wealthy person. And he, during his young age, he left. And now he has arrived. So why he ordained? So that's the question. Why this fellow ordained? Because he had everything. He has wives. He has all this wealth. He's coming from a really good family, a renowned family. Everything was there, and he's a really healthy person. There is nothing, no issues with respect to his wealth or the health. But he ordained. So this king was puzzled about it. Now there, whenever Rattapala mentioned, I have seen. Particularly, Buddha has taught, I think, five particular reasons. Four particular reasons. So, seeing them, realizing them, I left the household life. So, can you recite those four points?
Those reasons. Yeah. Maharaja, mamayam dharma nirdeshayak denada, dakada, asada, gepiya, sasnata paminiyam veda, ලෝකයා ජරාමරණයන් කරායෙයි එයින් මෑ අද්‍රවයයි පළමුවන ධර්ම නිර්දේශය භගවත් වූ සියල්ල දන්නා සියල්ල දක්නා අරහත් ඒ සම්යක් සම්බුද්ධයන් වහන්සේ විසින් වදාරණ ලද්දේය.
පාලි පාලි. උපනීයති ලෝකෝ අද්ධූ ඕති. කෝ මහරජ තේන භගවතා ජානතා පස්සතා අරහතා සම්මා සම්බුද්ධේන පඨමෝ ධම්මුද්දේශෝ උද්දිට්ඨෝ. යමහං ඤත්වාච දිස්වා සුත්වාච අගාරස්මා අනගාරියම් පබ්බජිතෝ. That's what you mentioned, right? උපනීයති ලෝකෝ අද්ධූ. ඒක නේද කිව්වේ?
එහෙමයි සංසාර.
උපනීයති ලෝකෝ අද්ධූ. කියන්නකෝ සිංහල එක.
මහරජ මම යම් ධර්ම නිර්දේශයක් දැනද, දැකද, අසාද, ගේපියා සස්නට පැමිණියෙම් වේද, ලෝකයා ජරා මරණයෙන් ලෝකයා ජරා මරණයන් කරායේයි, එයින් මෑ අද්‍රවයයි. පළමුවන ධර්ම නිර්දේශය භගවත් වූ සියල්ල දන්නා සියල්ල දක්නා අරිහත් ඒ සම්‍යක් සම්බුද්ධයන් වහන්සේ විසින් වදාරණ ලද්දේය.
ඔසද, were you able to find out the place? Okay, can you recite the English translation?
So, Venerable Ratthapala says, Great King, there are four summaries of the Dhamma that have been taught by the Blessed One who knows and sees, accomplished and fully enlightened. Knowing and seeing and hearing them, I went forth from the home life into homelessness. What are the four? First one, life in any world is unstable. It is swept away. Second one,
swept away. So then the next one. Okay, let me recite the Pali one. Attano loko anabissoroti ko maharaja tena bhagavata janata passata arahata samma sambuddhena dutiyo dambuddeso uddittho yamahang nyatvacha disvasuttacha sutvacha agarasma anagaryam pabbajito.
මහරජ මම යම් දෙවන ධර්ම නිර්දේශයක් දැනද, දැකද, අසාද, ගේපියා සස්නට පැමිණියෙම් වේද, ලෝකයා ත්‍රාණ රහිතව වෙත පැමිණ අස්වස් දෙන්නට නිසියෙක් නැති දෙවන ධර්ම නිර්දේශයෙහිවත් භගවත් වූ සියල්ල දන්නා සියල්ල දක්නා අරිහත් වූ ඒ සම්‍යක් සම්බුද්ධයන් වහන්සේ විසින් වදාරණ ලද්දේය.
Life in any world has no shelter and no protector.
That's the second one. And then uno loko atitto tanha dasoti. That's the third one. Anuhaika neme ne asako loko ne asako loko asako loko sabbam pahaya gamaniya. That is the third one.
Maharaja mama yam tevana dharma nirdeshayak danada dakada asada gepiya sasnata paminiyemda lokeya tama ayat daya natteya hama harapiya yayutuyai. තුන්වන ධර්ම නිර්දේශය භගවත් වූ සියල්ල දන්නා සියල්ල දක්නා අරිහත් වූ ඒ සම්‍යක් සම්බුද්ධයන් වහන්සේ විසින් වදාරණ ලද්දේය.
Right, the last one, uno loko atitto tanha dasoti. So you didn't mention the third one, sorry. Yeah, go ahead.
So the third one is, life in any world has nothing of its own. One has to leave all and pass on.
මහරජ මම යම් සිව්වන ධර්ම නිර්දේශයක් දැනද, දැකද, අසාද, ගේපියා සස්නට පැමිණියෙම්ද, ලෝකයා ඌනය තෘප්ති රහිතය, තෘෂ්ණාවට දාසයයි, සතරවන ධර්ම නිර්දේශය භගවත් වූ සියල්ල දන්නා සියල්ල දක්නා අරිහත් වූ ඒ සම්‍යක් සම්බුද්ධයන් වහන්සේ විසින් වදාරණ ලද්දේය.
Yeah, so the explanation is fairly deep actually. So why is it called upaniyati loko adhuoti? So basically it's mentioned jara maranayan karayei. So there is no any escape for you not to get old, not to get sick, and not to die. So you are born, and so you are anyway, you are definitely subjected to some sort of an aging process, and you never know when you are going to be sick and ultimately die. There is no way, kind of an escape.
Excuse me, Bhante, may I read the fourth translation?
Sorry.
Yes, so the fourth thing that made Ratthapala go into homelessness is, life in any world is incomplete, insatiate, the slave of craving.
Yeah, so let's go for the first one in the English explanation. So you read the English explanation about the first.
First one is, life in any world is unstable and it is swept away.
Yeah. Read the detail of that, how he is explaining it to the king.
Master Ratthapala said, Life in any world is unstable, it is swept away. How shall the meaning of that statement be understood? What do you think, great king? When you are 20 or 25 years old, were you an expert rider of elephants, an expert horseman, an expert charioteer, an expert archer, an expert swordsman, strong in thighs and arms, sturdy, capable of battle? When I was 20 or 25 years old, Master Atapala, I was an expert rider of elephants, strong in thighs and arms, sturdy, capable in battle. Sometimes I wonder if I had supernormal power then. I do not see anyone who could equal me in strength. What do you think, great king? Are you now as strong in thighs and arms, as sturdy and as capable in battle? No, Master Atapala. Now I am old, aged, burdened with years, advanced in life, come to the last stage. My years have turned 80. Sometimes I mean to put on my foot here. Sometimes I mean to put my foot here, and I put my foot somewhere else. Great king, it was on account of this that the Blessed One, who knows and sees, accomplished and fully enlightened, said, life in any world is unstable, it is swept away. And when I knew and saw and heard this, I went forth from home life into homelessness.
Yeah, so a very interesting idea. So one reason he has seen, realized, understood is that there is no escape. So you are swept away towards the old age, sickness, ultimately to death. So at that moment, say before my age time, I was a youth and I was quite strong. And I was almost like, I was thinking that I have superpower. I have kind of a superpower, Superman, because I can invade anyone, I can attack anyone, I can defeat anyone, I am so strong. I almost felt like I have some superpower, I am a Superman. But now I am aged, 80 years old, and I want to keep my foot at here, but it's gone to another place. Even to that much, it's almost like I am unable to do anything now. So now Venerable Ratapada is pointing it out. So this is why Buddha mentioned, Upaniyati loko adhuvoti. So you can't stop you being getting old, being aged, being sick, ultimately die. Then the next one is attano loko anabissaro. So can you read the explanation? Attano loko anabissaro.
Life in any world has no shelter and no protector. How shall the meaning of this statement be understood? What do you think, great king? Do you have any chronic ailment? I have a chronic wind ailment, Master Atapala. Sometimes my friends and companions, kinsmen and relatives stand around me thinking, now the king is about to die. Now the king is about to die. What do you think, great king? Can you command your friends and companions, your kinsmen and relatives, saying, come, my good friends and companions, my kinsmen and relatives, all of you present share this painful feeling so that I may feel less pain? Or do you have to feel the pain yourself alone? I cannot command my friends and companions, my kinsmen and relatives thus, Master Atapala. I have to feel that pain alone. Great king, it was on account of this that the Blessed One, who knows and sees, accomplished and fully enlightened, said, life in any world has no shelter and no protector. And when I knew and saw and heard this, I went forth from home life into homelessness.
Yeah, so that's another interesting reason. Even though you can entertain various sensual pleasures, but still you can go, you might encounter certain disease, maybe a cancer, maybe any a terminal type of another disease, a huge pain. You can't share it with someone else. You have to bear it by yourself. So you recently injured your toe. So you have to bear it by yourself. I can simply send you to the hospital. But you alone have to bear it. There is no one to help you. So you have to bear the whole pain. So they may be putting the stitches. They are, you know, injecting certain medicine, and they are doing the stitching and everything, again dressing the wound, everything. A huge pain. You have to bear it alone. There's no way to share it. So that is the point. Attana loko anabissaru. So basically at that moment in this world, so we are helpless in that sense. Whatever pain comes to us, we have to bear it. And then asako loko sabbam pahaya gamaniyam. Asako loko sabbam pahaya gamaniyam. And you have nothing, so called, you, this is mine. I can fully control it. This is completely mine. There is nothing you can say like that. So we'll see. Yeah.
Life in any world has nothing of its own. One has to leave all and pass on. And when I knew and saw and heard this, I went forth from home life into homelessness.
Explanation.
Yes. What do you think, great king? You now enjoy yourself, provided and endowed with the five cords of sensual pleasures. But will you be able to have it all in the life to come? Let me likewise enjoy myself, provided and endowed with these same five sensual cords of pleasure. Or will others take over this property while you will have to pass on according to your actions? And the king said, I cannot have it thus of the life to come, Master Ratapala. On the contrary, others will take over my property while I shall have to pass on according to my actions. Great King, it was on account of this that the Blessed One who knows and sees, accomplished and fully enlightened, said, life in any world has nothing of its own. One has to leave all and pass on. And when I knew and saw and heard this, I went forth from home life into homelessness.
Yeah. So basically, the people are so eager to acquire so many things, wealth, children, many houses, 2-3 cars and everything, ultimately die and they go empty-handed. So whatever belong to them will be taken by maybe his children or maybe even his force even. So they put various cases, court cases, and acquire all that wealth. So this fellow simply passed away. He has gone. He left. He can't carry with him whatever he earned, whatever the wealth he earned. He simply have to left aside everything when he is passing away. So asako loko sabbam pahaya gamaniya. Everything has to be abandoned. Everything has to be relinquished when you are leaving, when you are dying. You are spending hundreds, maybe, I don't know if someone has spent 100 years. So during the 100 years, you are spending so much of time, you are doing overtime and you are doing 7 days a week, and you take your work also to home and you are practicing, and you are doing it online nowadays, right? Online work, even at home you have no escape, you are working, acquiring, earning, and the Mara come and go, let's go, you have to go. And leaving everything aside. So what you earn, what you acquire, might have taken by someone else. You have no control. The beautiful other thing is now, some funny stories are there. Now say there is a person who has a beautiful wife. And he has a good car and a driver. And while he is doing all his management and all his, other wealth management, so his wife being looked after by the driver, because wife has to go to the fair, wife has to go to this thing, wife has to go to the other thing. So the driver is looking after her and helping her and all that. And the husband, he being the owner of this, proprietor of this whole, whatever the business, so he's quite busy. He has no much time to spend for her, his wife even. And all of a sudden he died. And then wife went with the driver. And then driver is telling, I know that ultimately he's earning all this for me. And even he left the wife for me. Even this fellow has left even his wife for me, and all these 24 hours he was working hard, all his wealth also came to me now, including his wife. So ultimately, so he earned so hard, has taken nothing with him. Whatever he earned was owned ultimately by his driver, including the wife. So this is the situation. Now, the last one is what more relevant to today's discussion actually. That is, Uno Loko Atitto Tanha Dasu.
Life in any world is incomplete, insatiable, the slave of craving. How should the meaning of that statement be understood? What do you think, great king? Do you reign over the rich Kuru country? Yes, Master Ratapala, I do. What do you think, great king? Suppose a trustworthy and reliable man came to you from the east and said, please know, great king, that I have come from the east, and there I saw a large country, powerful and rich, very populous and crowded with people. There are plenty of elephant troops there, plenty of cavalry, chariot troops and infantry. There is plenty of ivory there, plenty of gold coins and bullion, both worked and unworked, and plenty of women for wives. With your present forces, you can conquer it. Conquer it then, great king. What would you do? And Ratapala said, and the king said, we would conquer it and reign over it, Master Ratapala. What do you think, great king? And then he says, the same man comes from the west, from the south, from the north. And in all those instances, the king said, we will conquer it too and reign over it, Master Ratapala. Great king, it was on account of this that the Blessed One, who knows and sees, accomplished and fully enlightened, said, life in any world is incomplete, insatiate, the slave of craving. And when I knew and saw and heard this, I went forth from home life into homelessness.
Yeah. So basically the idea is, now this king already has so many things. He's the king of a particular country. But he get the message that there is a really accomplished or really wealthy country close by, and you can easily invade them. So then you use your armies to invade that country. Then another messenger come and say, okay, that's another country in the west. Why don't you invade it? Okay, let's invade that also. Okay, there's another country in the south. Let's invade it. Yeah, let's go and invade it. So there is no end. So there is no time that you feel complete. Okay, it is enough. I'm happy with this country, with this kind of a kingdom. I'm quite happy. There is no such end of the craving. Uno loko atitto tanha da. So every time you feel something is missing, and if I get something more, I'll be happy. If I get some more, I'll be happy. So continuously feeling kind of incomplete. Feeling something is lacking, something is missing. So that is the issue with the sensual desires, sensual pleasures. So never you feel complete. Never you feel completely fulfilled. Every time you feel kind of missing, there may be a better pleasure. There may be a more intense kind of a pleasure at some other way. So people are finding this and all that to satisfy the senses, never feeling fully contented. Now in the today's sutta, Mahadana Sutta, that is the same theme. Mahadana Mahaboga Rattavantopi Kathya. So they are the ones who are ruling the country. They are the ones with lot of wealth and maybe the harvest. Anjamanyabi Gijjanti. But they still look for someone else's wealth. Kamesu analankata. And unsatisfied, dissatisfied with whatever they have. Tesu usukka jatesu. As a result of that, they are always driving themselves to work hard, always driving themselves to invade others, attack others. They always have some problem. Usukka jatesu. Bhava sotanu sarisu. So they are swept away by the streams of the sensual desires. And now Buddha's answer, hitva agaram pabbajita. So the one who understood it, so as Venerable Ratapala mentioned, so he realized the Buddha's statements, so why these things are there. And then he left the household life. He go forth. And then Pabbajita, he became a monk. Hitva puttang, so he left his children, pasung, piyang, and all the cattle and whatever the loved ones. Hitva ragancha do sancha avijjancha viraja. Now the difficult part. Maybe easy to left everything aside. You can leave the house, you can relinquish the house, you can renunciate. But once you become a monk, say you are happy with the setup and you are becoming the owner of the temple, and now you have look after the temple, and so you become chief of two temples, maybe three temples. Now the desire can turn to another side. So that's another, you know, a type of hindrance we can have. So even though you are capable of relinquish all the household stuff, maybe your wife, children and your wealth, now once you become a monk, okay, you have so other responsibilities, and now you are the chief of a particular temple and look after the temple, and there's another temple, okay, why not attach that also to our temple? Let's go and attach that also to our temple. So then you become a chief of two temples. So likewise, another side of desire can invade the mind. Even though you are capable of relinquish the household life, now you are into another stream. So this tanha is very tricky. So that's what's happened sometimes to the monks. So even though they are capable of relinquish the household stuff, now they are stuck in this monk's life, guarding and saving and, you know, serving, protecting all that temples and looking after them, so much of a burden. That's also another area that we need to think. So, and maybe on the other side, say you want to have a good robe, a really nice ball, and your slippers. Only few things are there, but you are so attached to those few things. So that's another bottleneck. Say, previously you had so many things and your desires are very much like spreaded. Now you have only few things, but to those few things you are so attached. Say someone is stealing your robe. You feel completely panic because this is the robe that you have acquired and someone has offered you after the vasa, and so you are so happy with it, and this is exact color that I want. And I was attaching all this jangeya, giveya, everything, and I have spent fair amount of time preparing it. But all of a sudden it was stolen. And you feel unhappy about it. You are crying about it. And maybe the ball. This ball is maybe a Thai ball. You know, it's a pretty good one. Fairly lighter. And using it for 5 years, 6 years, 10 years now. All of a sudden it was stolen. And you feel quite unhappy. Only few things are there, but to those few things you have so much of desire. That's another area we might falling into. Even though we were capable of relinquishing everything aside when we are leaving the household life, once we become monks, to these few requisites, what we own might become so attached. So we need to find, so is there any such kind of too much attachment to this, maybe a robe, maybe my ball, to my kuti, maybe my slippers, whatever. Very few possessions now I have, but I am so attached to it. I can't share it with someone else, another monk. It can happen to us. That's another area. So, ragancha dosancha, what's it called? Hitva ragancha dosancha avijjancha virajya. Kina sava rahanto te lokasming anusukati. Now suppose you are able to relinquish lust, hatred, delusion, then you have nothing to do. So you are an arahant. So you are now anusukha. Anusukha means there is no urge. You are done. Katakaraniyo. You are the one who has completed the task. Katakaraniyo. And you feel completed, you feel confident, or you feel contented. Because no desires are there, no cravings are there, you feel complete, you feel fulfilled. So are you feeling confused? So let's go for a discussion, then I think this is enough as an introduction. Anything contribute?
So we started, there's a progression in this sutta. We started with relinquishing the household life, the house, the spouse, the children, the property. And then now we have a monk here. He only has the four requisites. But these are also material possessions, no?
Correct.
So even if this monk is able to relinquish the craving or attachment to these material possessions, is there still something finer that he may attach to? Something that still keeps him trapped in samsara?
Definitely.
What is this?
So basically, I mean, these possessions are the material stuff still he can be attached with. That is obvious. And then say he is now practicing. He's now practicing and he is able to achieve a first jhana. Now, first jhanic experience is a really sublime, really beautiful, really pleasant kind of an abiding. And he probably like to be there for a long time. Now, he start preferring that rather than spending time with the other monks and attending the chanting and attending all other course. So, let me go to my kuti and be in the first jhana for 3 hours, 4 hours, 5 hours, because so pleasant, so beautiful. Not something material. Kind of any material, a fine material, we can say. Rupa means fine material. First, second, third, fourth jhanas. So that is actually you can only acquire by abandoning the five hindrances. So you can't say by being there, so you are developing certain lower type of craving, lower kind of a desire, what we call the raganusaya. But still, you might get stuck there. That's why Buddha typically mentioned as internally stuck. You're being internally stuck now. Previously, you are externally stuck. You may attach to the robe, you may attach to the kuti, you may attach to the ball, or the other side, you are attached to your wife, you are attached to your children, you are attached to your house, you are attached to the profession, whatever. Those are the externally stuck. But now you become internally stuck. Your mind get absorbed to this, whatever the refined kind of a mental state. This is a completely refined mental state. You get stuck. Still is kind of a stuck. Because there is no way, while you are there, there is no any kind of a abandonment of the defilements. You can simply be there. It's a pleasant abiding. On the other hand, now probably people might think, okay, let's relinquish the fine material and go to the immaterial. You go to the arupa jhana. Akasanam chayatana, vinyanam chayatana, all that different kinds of really boundless arupa jhana. Still you get stuck there, arupa. So that's beautiful verses about this. So either you stuck in the material realm, in the sensual realm, that is one common thing. You leave it aside, you stuck in the fine material realm, rupa jhana, fine material realm, and you later stuck in the arupa, the immaterial realm. So that's what happened to Alarakalama, that's what has happened to the Uddhakaramaputta. So they got stuck in the immaterial realm. So what's the solution?
To neither be stuck in the material or immaterial.
Sorry?
To abandon both material and immaterial.
Immaterial, exactly. So where to keep the mind?
Nowhere,
exactly. To keep the mind at nowhere, in a way. So that's why there's a beautiful verse in the Sutta Nipata telling about in this statement, Detanupassana Sutta, Nirodhang Nappajananto Aganta Arupunabhava, Yecha Rupupaga Satta Yecha Arupatthayino. Nirodhang nappajananto agantaro punabhavam. Yecha rupupaga satta. That means there are people, there are beings who are attached to the fine material realm. Yecha rupupaga satta. And then yecha arupatthayino. And there are others who are established in the arupa, the immaterial realm. Nirodhang nappajananto agantaro punabhavam. Not knowing the cessation, still come back to the birth. Still come back to the, returning back to the birth. So the Buddha's great finding is the Nirodha, in a way, the cessation. So, I mean, people already found the fine material realm. Say, even before the Buddha, Asita Tapasa and various others. So they were able to be in the first jhana, second jhana, third jhana, fourth jhana. So those are the fine material achievement, the Rupupaga Asatta. So while being in the human realm, they were able to achieve it and they were able to absorb to it. And maybe after passing away, they were born as Brahmas, stayed there in the Brahma realms. So this is a kind of an achievement. But the unfortunate thing is they have to return back to the human realm again. After that period is elapsed. And again, probably they might fall into the hell realm. Again and again coming back to the birth, that's the issue. And then people thought, okay, this is also not the solution. Let's go to the Arupa realm, go to the immaterial realm. So that's eons of the period. Eons, not just 100 years, 400 years. Eons. In the Akasananchayatana, eons. Vinyananchayatana, again, many eons. But still the issue is, still come back. After these many eons, still they have to return back. So that's the issue. So you can imagine what a kind of a solution that Buddha has to give. So all these very, you know, these people are also really talented people. So they already were able to relinquish the sensual realm. They also abandoned the sensuality. They also abandoned the sensual realm. That's why they were practicing jhana and stay in the rupavachara realm. And that's why they were able to practice in jhana and get into the arupavachara, the akasananchayat and all that. Infinite space, infinite consciousness. So those are really fine achievements. But still the problem is they have to come back. The rebirth will happen. So the Buddha's great achievement in that sense is the finding of the Nibbana, what we call the cessation. How one can go through a cessation, accomplish a cessation, touch the cessation. So where is that verse? See, yecha rupupaga satta yecha arupatthayino nirodhang appajananto agantaro punambhava. And now Buddha mentioned, yecha rupe parinyaya arupesu asantitha. And they thoroughly understood the fine material realm and thoroughly understood the immaterial realm, and so they are not established even in the immaterial realm. Nirodheye vimucchanti te jana machuhaino. So they become completely free by achieving the cessation. A kind of mastermind achievement. Because before the Buddha, they were already there. They were already in the fine material. They were already in the immaterial, thinking that is the Nibbana. So Buddha's great finding is not that, but rather the cessation. So, not an easy thing. Yeah. Sure.
Yeah. So,
you need to come forward.
I would say to practice for the eradication of tens, for the destruction of tens.
Yeah, yeah.
All the other things are just practicing for some kind of lifestyle choice, right? That they want to go to some better place.
Mm.
But
another birth.
Some better place. So the intention behind that action to go to somewhere else is just an escape kind of thing.
Mm.
But yeah, so the solution would be to purify the intention.
Correct.
Behind the action to destroy the tents.
Mm. Sure. Yeah, I mean, so basically the Nirodha, you can say the Nibbana, one definition is Ragakkhayo, Dosakkhayo, Mohakkhayo. So that's the answer given even here in this Mahadana Sutta. So the Arahant has to achieve this Ragakkhaya, Dosakkhaya, Mohakkhaya. All the lust has to be abandoned, the hatred has to be abandoned, the ignorance has to be abandoned. So then he's in Nibbana, we can simply say. So one side we can say the abandonment of these fetters, defilements, all that. The other side is that you are, as a result of abandoning the ignorance, you are no more getting a rebirth at no place. So you are not going through a rebirth because there is no desire and you have penetrated that there is no self. So those are the deep teachings in a way. So even though one has achieved the Rupa Jahana, Arupa Jahana, still there is a self, isn't it? So I am being born in the Rupa realm. I am going to be born in the Arupa realm. So I am there. still a self is there. But Buddha realized that there is no self. And so as a result of that, so ultimately I'm once pass away, there is no rebirth. It is also not that existing self he kind of abolish. Rather, because of the ignorance, there's a feeling of self, a making of self. I making happens because of the ignorance. Mind making happens because of the ignorance, the craving. Now, if you are able to here and there recognize how I making happens, how mind making happens, how the self arise, the sense of I arise, and probably you have a chance to abandon it, relinquish it slowly, slowly, slowly. Ultimately, while living, you may realize, okay, now there is no self. You are particularly in the non-self. You have realized the non-self. And there is no self you feel as before. That's why sometimes in the certain arahant's case, so they mention, okay, now I don't feel that I is here. Mine is here. So they completely dwell in the non-self. So now they go beyond the typical worldly sense, worldly parlance. And someone simply can say, okay, here the arahant is, but that is because a mere appearance. But there is no person as such to show or to indicate there is a person. Internally, he has become completely kind of impersonal. So he has abandoned all the sakkayaditti, all the what we call the personality view, and later even the asmimana, what we call the... So he wanted to come to the participate the Dhamma discussion. So, and then he has abandoned even the asmiman, the sense of I. So he has become no one. So if there is no one, nothing to be born, done. He's in the cessation, you can say. He's in the cessation. And the consciousness has ceased. Established consciousness has ceased. Now his consciousness is not established. It has become unestablished consciousness. So these are the kind of deep teachings we can touch. And in that case, so the arahants, after his final parinibbana, no more, there is no rebirth at all, at any realm. Not in the sensual realm, not in the rupa realm, not in the arupa realm. No place that he'll be reborn. He's done. The fire has extinguished. Very interesting. Anything to contribute? How about our Canadian brothers? Anything to share with us? Nothing? You have nothing to share? Sure.
So all the jhanas for insight contemplation are not as an abiding. Like, there it's always being mentioned that this is some kind of abiding, these jhanas,
mm-hmm.
and the arupa jhanas. But when we use it the other way around for insight contemplation,
then you are doing the vipassana. Correct. So rather than simply attached to that present experience, so you need to step out and see how that is also arising and passing away, but very subtle. We are talking very subtle mental factors in a way. Not easy method. So you have to step out of that jhanic experience and you have to recognize how certain feelings as a result of the jhanic practice, they are coming and going, they are changing. Or certain different kind of perceptions, very subtle mental factors, how they are arising and passing away. So then you are practicing the vipassana, rather than you being trapped in the jhana.
Also, what I wanted to say is to use the jhana for insight contemplation, like using it as a tool rather than looking at it. Yeah, I don't know if I can express myself properly.
Mm.
Yeah, to make the intention for insight contemplation before you enter the jhana. That's the formula they give, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, maybe. Maybe, I mean, that is possible. That is explained by the Buddha. Samatha Pubbangama Vipassana. So you achieve certain jhana and spend there. And you, to some extent, you are now capable of staying there. But one moment you need to step out of it and do the contemplation. So it is available as a practice, as a method, available. Yeah. Okay, anything from West Indies? Nothing? So, no? Anything to share? then we can wind up the session. And if there is nothing to... Any Kumara, are you there? And any contributions from your side?
Asre Swami Nahansa.
Niranja, yes, how are you?
Yes. Swami Nahansa, there's a small statement received from this Zen.
Right.
It says, Venerable, even the Madhya Sutta discusses where the mind needs to be, right, with Metta.
Madhya Sutta That's discusses where the mind needs to be.
Yes.
We can comment on that. So Madhya Sutta explains that it's now say there are two ends or two extremes, and even the middle you are not supposed to attach. Now say, for example, giving one, because there are six explanations in the Madhya Sutta, and let's take one example. So one extreme is the pleasurable feeling, the other side is the painful feeling. Typically we shift from one side to the other side, missing the middle. So what is in the middle? Any answer? Now say one extreme is the pleasurable feelings, the other extreme is the painful feeling, and our life is very much like kind of a struggle to abandon the painful feeling and always try to dwell in the pleasant feeling. So that's always, but anyway, inevitably you have to go through certain painful feeling. So it's a continuous struggle to abandon the painful feeling and always live, abide in the pleasurable feeling. So where are we always dwelling, by the way? Both these two extremes. Which one are we missing then? What's in the middle? Adukkama sukha. The middle is in the upekkha. The middle is the equanimous feeling. So we miss that. So the point highlighted in the sutta is not that you abide in the middle either. Even you that, as a result of your wisdom, you let it go. That's a beautiful verse there. Yo ubho ante vidittvana majje manta na lippati. Yo ubho ante vidittvana. So you know the two extremes, but majje manta na lippati. And even the middle, with your wisdom, not being attached. You see the beauty that how Buddha is pointing out. You need to know the extremes. You should know what is pleasurable feeling. You should know what is painful feeling. And now you know the middle also. That is the equanimous feeling. But with wisdom, you are not attached to even to the middle. You are not attached even to the middle. A very tricky way that Buddha is pointing out. Probably we might immediately think, okay, now I'm then in the extreme. So let me go back to the middle. Stay in the middle. You are not supposed to be in the middle either. Maybe temporarily you may be in the middle for a while till you develop the potential to let go of even the middle. How beautiful. How kind of a master plan. You understand the extremes. Okay, don't get tangled there. Now be in the middle as much as possible, but knowing that you need to let go. There is a moment you need to let it go, and at nowhere, establish as nowhere. Really beautiful. And that is one explanation. Yeah.
So Bhante, that means some places they say there's no coming, there's no going, but there's no standing still as well.
Great. Yes, definitely.
No moving and no standing still.
Yes. I mean, many different ways that Buddha is pointing out. Now, say, for example, to Bahia. Okay, when Bahia you are not there, and when Bahia you are not here, and not in between either. Not in between either. You are not there and not here and not even in between. That's the end of suffering. So where are you? Nowhere. So you have to be nowhere. Being nobody, going nowhere. Very beautiful, yeah. That's a statement, yeah.
So when you are meditating, I have heard that Lokasan once often mentions that you look at the breath, end of the breath, and then you suddenly find a place you can't define. But then you can say something about it that once you are after that moment. So is that... I know this question is going to be a little bit silly. So is that kind of like where you cannot define, you cannot give a sanya or something, anything, no definition. But there is, again, we are giving a value to that particular moment.
Correct.
So like compared to the other values. We are giving a value to that, but unintentionally, in my inside, there's this bearing, there is this, I won't say a strong desire, but I won't say, I may not say it's not a strong desire either, to gain that not being status often. So I just wanted to ask that whether I often has encountered this question, is that the right thing? And then sometimes listening to Dhamma talks, Lokas Ramana says Dhamma talks and Dhamma talks as well. I've at times I got the notion, yes, that's it. At times I was like, is that the thing? So so I just wanted to hear your words about that.
Yeah, I mean, so basically, so maybe if suppose that we are practicing Anapanasati, so as a result of that, say you are able to recognize in breath, out breath, all that, ultimately the breath fades away and you can't even recognize. That is, you can't say now it is the in breath, now it is the out breath, almost like things have disappeared. So where are you now? You can't say that I am at anywhere in terms of the physicality. So probably you can get attached to the kind of a very pleasant feeling. That is where the internal stuck can happen. So that is where you need to now abandon. So the, because feelings are also impermanent, feelings are also coming and going, those are also the conditioned phenomena. Now you are not depending on even the feelings. How about the thoughts? How about having wholesome thoughts? Aren't they good? But that is also conditioned. You can't depend on the wholesome thoughts either. Wholesome thoughts also come and go, unwholesome thoughts also come and go, and you let go of even the thoughts. So where are you going to keep the mind now? So basically the mind have to place at nowhere, basically. Because whatever condition are, you know, they are the conditioned phenomena, ultimately vulnerable, ultimately they'll pass away. In case they come forward, or in case they are born, they'll die. Inevitable. So that's why, so all conditioned phenomena are, in that sense, not trustworthy, not dependable. So you have to look something away from that. So that's why whatever belonging to the five khandhas are not the solution, basically. So the satipatthanas help us to penetrate the five khandhas. So the result of the satipatthana is to finding this no place in a way. Anisita anupadana, and not attaching, not holding, or not clinging to anything in the world, and keep the mind completely independent, completely free. So it's a kind of a freed mind. Ultimately, what we have to achieve is a completely free mind, and there is no boundary. A free mind, a type of boundless free mind, is something that we have to achieve. It is not established at any place. You can't say that consciousness is now established at any particular place and it is bound to any particular object. It's completely boundless. Not completely unattached, unestablished. This is something that we need to achieve. While we are there, you can't feel the sense of I. Because for the sense of I to be felt, you have to have something. You have to hold something. You need to cling to something. Now, without attachment, without clinging, without grasping, you can't have a sense of I. You can't prepare a self. So if you are able to abandon all the grasping, then you are already in the non-self. You are a step into the non-self. Yeah. Please.
If I say this, I don't know whether it's correct. So while in the meditation, in that particular state where you cannot really feel that you are in a certain thing, but when I've come out of it, when I say I, come out of it, that's the Mamaya saying you, that's the place. But while you are in that state, Mamaya has no place.
Exactly. So the moment that you, where am I? Oh, again, I is there. Assume that you are there. The moment you want to inquire, where am I? That's a wrong thought in a way. That's an inappropriate thought. Because that again triggers the I. Because while you are there, you can't express it. The moment you're trying to express it, you again become someone. You are always relevant or compared to something that you are trying to express. You can simply dwell there. You can simply dwell there being nobody. So very, very beautiful teachings are there now. Say, for example, the terms like atammeta. Atammeta indicate that you become no one and no thing. The moment you become something, you are attached to it. You are grasping it and you may feel the sense of I. And again, you become someone, still you are obviously there. Say, I am a doctor. You may feel that I am strongly someone. I am someone now. And say you attach to something, a beautiful sight. Oh my goodness, very beautiful, very beautiful. It's mine and it's beautiful. Again, you grasp it and you feel the sense of I. So that's why people want to attach to something, to be angry even. So when you feel excited, you being angry, you feel the sense of I. The strong sense of I is there. So even being angry. But when the defilements are not there, you are also not presenting. You don't feel your presence. It doesn't mean you are dead, or it doesn't mean that you are unconscious. While you are conscious, but still not feeling sense of I. Very interesting. Very interesting. Very tricky in a way. How Buddha is, that's why Venerable Ananda actually praised the Buddha at one occasion. How tricky, how talented way, Bhante, you were able to achieve this. That's a very beautiful sutta. Very beautiful terms are there, I can't remember. On certain days, Bhante Dhammajiva used to tell that. I can't remember it. So what a tricky way that Buddha found the solution. That's why, I mean, majority of the people are engrossed in the sensuality. They are in the darkness of the sensuality. They are trapped there. Some others, they thought, okay, sensuality is not the solution. Let's go to the fine material realm, jhana. Fine material jhana. Now they are there. Internet is stuck. Others say, okay, this is also not enough because still there's a friction of the materiality. Let's go to the immaterial realm, arupa. But Buddha found that is also not the solution. Not in the sensual realm, not in the fine material realm, not even in the arupa realm. You have to abandon the defilements. Defilements are the main culprit. So let's abandon the roots of the defilements. Raga, dosa, moha, all have to be abandoned. The craving has to be abandoned. The avijja, the ignorance have to be abandoned. Then basically you found, okay, the things are happening, not using a self, but as a dependently arising process. Parisamuppada. So that's a very, very, very great finding of the Buddha. Okay, how a certain process happened without an agent, without the participation of a self, how a continuation would happen? Solution lies in the Parisamuppada. So once you realize that, okay, you allow things to happen because things are there, processes are happening, but no need to be a person. There's no self to be present, but a process would happen because of the continuations of the causes. And say, assume that you are recognizing that, then slowly, slowly, all these links of the Parisamuppada starts fading away. Jati will fade away, jara marana fade away, craving fade away, grasping fade away, feelings fade away. Ultimately, the consciousness become unestablished. These are very deep areas. So how one would come out from that progressive style of the Parisamuppada? So typically we are trapped in that progressive, you know, the samudaya side of the Parisamuppada. Samudaya side, the always building part, building a self, building suffering ultimately. And ultimately, all these links have to fade away and you establish in the abandoning side, Nirodha side. Anything to contribute? Okay, Anna.
There's another statement. Bhante, you speak of cessation. Is this cessation of lobha, dosha, moha, cessation of sankhara, cessation of rebirth? Is it deathless or all of it? That's it.
All of it. Yeah, it is all of it. Either you say nibbana in terms of abandonment of raga, dosa, moha, even though you say it is tanhakkhaya, abandonment of the craving, even you say it's complete abandonment of the the ignorance, so we are talking the same thing. Okay, I think it's enough for today. Yeah.
Sorry, Swaminathan, about this homelessness, this Arahant, he speaks about this, but I think at that time the Buddha was there, like he was still alive, right? Like for us, how can we do? We become homeless and maybe we become bhikkhus, but what about the teachers? Like, how can we choose them?
Very difficult. Very difficult. That's why I mean, immediately finding the best place, best teacher, almost like impossible. And trusting that same person, thinking that he's the Arahant. And do you think that I am an Arahant? So I am not. So it's kind of a risk. A kind of a risk is there. So you need to explore. You also have to have a fair amount of vigilance, a fair amount of, wisdom to explore. Because the teacher may only motivate you, guide you in simple terms. A fair amount of risk is there in yourself. A fair amount of task is there in your hand. So you can't completely depend on the teacher either. Teachers may be there to inspire you and to give you some instructions, definitely. And in case you are going astray, a competent teacher may be able to instruct you properly. Okay, this is not the path. Okay, son, you go in this direction. But are you going to believe it? How are you going to trust it? Very difficult. So that's why many other skills are needed in that sense. Are you able to listen to that instruction? Are you humble enough to be obedient to that instruction? Accept it further, just without being adamant, just to go through the path. So many areas are there. So by the way, always the Buddha's teaching is there to help you, to guide you, that we can trust. So teachers are also trying to abide by that. They are also practicing according to that and sharing their wisdom, sharing their insights according to that. So you can always tally the teacher's instruction with the teaching. You know that Buddha's teaching is there. That is the great guideline. And when a teacher has given a particular instruction, you can tally it with the book. But the issue is you have to master the book in that case. So these things are not easy. I mean, it will take years to master it. And I feel that the kind of the collaboration that we get from all our other partners or other your colleagues and then the teachers. So that's that collectively we may be able to achieve it rather than you fully depending on one person. Isn't it? You may have other colleagues, co-practitioners, and you can have a little chat about it, and because they also are practicing, teacher is also practicing, and he is also being an example. So it's a kind of a collective achievement as far as today in today's terms, I feel. Other thing is, there may be exceptional cases that they simply use the book and they have certain insight and navigate through it. But there are many cases they try to it but go to a sidetracks. They think that they have done it, they are the Arahants, but gone in the wrong track. That's also possible. That's why kind of a research is needed. Time to time, again, come back and stay in a monastery and look for something and trying to understand what they are teaching. And am I in the correct track? Am I in the wrong track? Time to time, research. Always having a kind of investigative mind. So am I doing properly? Is there something? So that's why Dhamma discussions are very, very useful. Listening to Dhamma, very, very useful. And the sila and all that gives you the encouragement. And you do your own practice. Not a single thing. Collaborative effort. Yeah. That was it. also the, we'll wind up. Oh, yeah. Switch on, yeah.
Ananda Thero told old Buddha that that you must be a trick. It's a trick to beat this mana. Likewise, from those collective thoughts and those Lord Buddha's teachings and from our colleagues and from yours, and we have to gather all those things, we have to find a way to trick mana.
Will you take mana?
Mana means manasa.
Manasa, like mana. You mean it's a, develop the mind. Develop the mind.
Yeah, mind. Like, the mana is the one who's doing all those things around us, giving us all those bad thoughts and everything, right?
Mm-hmm.
Then we have to find a way, like that Ananda told, that Ananda Thero told Lord Buddha, like, you are a trick master to trick the tricker. Trick, like, it's a trick, no? Like, we are stuck on a matrix or something.
Correct.
Yeah. So we have to do with the collective mind, we have to find ourselves, by ourselves, right? That's the way to develop, to go for the Nibbana.
Yeah, we can say so. So Buddha's teaching is there, but we ourselves have to see through it, or we need to look at it and see our own faults, see our own ignorance in a way. So teaching is helpful, is kind of, we will act as a guideline, and for us to untangle. Currently we are trapped, currently we may be tangled, currently we are grasping somehow and preparing ourselves because of the ignorance. Now the teaching will guide you, okay, you look at it, look at inside and develop certain skills and look at inside what has happened. So where are you stuck, where are you trapped, where are you tangled? And so, as a result of that, now you are slowly should be able to untangle. Because if you are practicing properly, you should find answers to your questions, certain inner questions, certain curiosities. So all that should be slowly abandoned, because you are now finding the solutions. You yourself is experiencing now. You yourself have to experience the freedom, basically. Now, even though now when we are talking so much of things, now say you are practicing Satipatthana. So the one great result of the Satipatthana is that achievement of the freed mind. So the freed mind is something accessible to you then. So you have practiced, say, several years. So as a result of this practice, am I at least time to time dwell in this emptiness, dwell in this unattached state? Am I able to dwell in this non-grasping state? So you can verify it now, isn't it? So Buddha always indicate that, okay, this is the result of this. Each and every Satipatthana, there are 21 methods explained in the Satipatthana Sutta. Each and every method, the ultimate goal is this. You achieve the unassociated, non-grasping, freed mind. So have I arrived that? Have I achieved that? So that is something that we can verify, isn't it? So the guy kind of, it is not that we have to learn millions of books, so we can't do it. Basic guidelines are there, very essential teachings are there. Say for example, the Satipatthana Sutta, and he's giving very clear instructions, and the outcome also is stated. Okay, if you follow these clear instructions, outcome is ultimately you should be able to maintain a mind which has no grasping anything in the world. And it's completely unassociated. Unassociated. Not established at any place. So this is the achievement. whatever the method you practice, either you practice Kayanupassana methods, either you practice Vedananupassana, either you practice Chittanupassana, either you practice Dhammanupassana, you should arrive as a result to this level. This kind of a result. There are no place for the mind, no object to the mind, and no establishment to the mind, no grasping anything in the world. Definitely. So are you brave enough to be there, do that, be there, dwell there? These are the issues. So once you almost getting close, it what's going to happen to me? That's also, I mean, because still the strong I is there, so are you capable of let go of that I? No, the thing is, now if you properly practice that, I will start depleting. The sense of I start depleting. Now the typical the simile given in the Dhatu Manasikara, you may start with the sense of I, but ultimately the perception will change, like the given in the simile of that butcher. So butcher killing an animal, but he's selling meat. So the practitioner may start with I am meditating, but later he has to find, okay, I has gone. Merely the elements are there. Merely the skandhas are there. Merely the sense bases are there. There is no I. So he has achieved such kind of an understanding. But maybe starting with that basic I being a self, I being so and so, and so, I am practicing here at Nisarnavane, I am walking, I am sitting. Sense of I is there. But slowly, slowly you have to reach the other side. So at least time to time you need to dwell. So no, being nobody. So no grasping at all. And now you can see how again grasping happen. How again I making happens. So you have stepped into the other side. While you are there, now you are looking at how I making happens. How time to time a self being generated because of the ignorance, because of the attachment, because of the grasping, while dwelling in the non-grasping level. Then you have crossed to the very much like to a different side. Like,
it is quite wonderful to have to listen to this exposition by Swami Mahanse. It is a meritorious deed, and we would just like to extend these merits, share them with our relatives, with our teachers, with all deities. May our relatives rejoice in our merit making. May the devas rejoice in our merit making. And may all celestial beings protect the Dhamma exposition and the Buddha dispensation for a long time. May the seeds of Dhamma that we have received grow, producing path, fruition, and Nibbana. I invite you all to join in the recitation of the traditional Pali verses for the sharing of merits.